Novelist Henry James once said, "The two most beautiful words in the English language are summer afternoon." Often what's best about summer afternoons is sitting in some cool place to read. Heading into vacation season, Morning Edition will spend some time asking authors about their favorite books. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg launches her Tuesday series with Barry Lopez. He won the 1986 National Book Award for Nonfiction for Arctic Dreams, about explorations of the North Pole. Lopez picks as his favorite a 19th century sea adventure.
In Hollywood, where stories are pitched in a few words, the pitch for Moby Dick would be Little Man, Big Fish. But the story of Captain Ahab's pursuit of the great white whale that took his leg is an epic, a profound examination of man and nature. Barry Lopez says in 1851, Herman Melville was making a new and very American literary statement.
Moby Dick is about something big, very big. And at the time Melville is writing, we have to remind ourselves, because we're so accustomed to getting on the plane in the morning and ending up in Bangkok, that to cross the ocean was a nearly unheard of thing still for most people. It was Americans who pioneered pelagic whaling, that is, going into an uncharted area and seeking the largest living thing that had ever been on the planet. And that outsizedness was, I think, for people in the 19th century, a hallmark of American life, and it continues to be.
Barry Lopez reads Moby Dick every 4 or 5 years, and wherever he travels, he buys a copy in translation. Lopez says Herman Melville's novel of the fearsome captain and his whaling crew is not just about voyages at sea.
The grand theater, if you will, of Moby Dick serves to dramatize an incident which is the day-to-day reality, I think, in any thinking human heart. And that is, where are we with regard to the others with whom we are on the symbolic ship of life? And when we look at the makeup of this crew, we see different religions and different languages and different ethnic backgrounds, all of them trying to make some working sense of a relationship to the world outside the self.
This tight community on board the whaling ship Pequod includes a coffee-swilling first mate named, yes, Starbuck. Thank you, Herman Melville. And that 19th century ship-bound community and its obsessed captain represent other very contemporary themes.
I would not be the first person in the United States, and there are literally millions of them outside the United States, who say that much of our difficulty here in this country derives from our obsession with adolescent notions of independence and individuality. And what does not mature in the society is an awareness of one's responsibilities to the community. And this is a theme, of course, for Ishmael, who is the eternally thinking man. He's an isolate. He's not deeply engaged socially with other people. But he is forever thinking about the meaning of life.
Ishmael, the narrator of Moby Dick, at least thinking in terms of community and repercussions, as opposed to Ahab, who is the, I don't want to call him the villain, but he's certainly the overarching character of the book, a captain who should be in charge of the health of his community, but in fact is so driven by his own egotistical, monomaniacal pursuit of this whale that that's all that counts for him.
To some extent, that, of course, is true. And Ishmael, as soon as we read those first three words, "Call me Ishmael," we know that we're in the hands of a writer, Melville, who wants to be our companion rather than our authority. And I would say, as a writer, that is a frame of mind I identify with. But Ahab is both self-absorbed and, I think, symbolically a representative of this deep and profound question, and that is the meaning of the world outside the human world for human beings.
Would you read us a short passage that in some ways just encapsulates this enormous book, where the language and the themes just all come together
It's like trying to pick a passage out of the Bible. But here goes. This is a chapter called The Quarterdeck, and it comes about a third of the way into the novel. And Ahab is on the quarterdeck addressing the crew and revealing to them explicitly for the first time what it is that they're up to. That is, they're going to track, wherever they have to go, they're going to track down this white whale. And he says to them, "All visible objects, man, are but as pasteboard masks. But in each event, in the living act, the undoubted deed, there some unknown but still reasoning thing puts forth the moldings of its features from behind the unreasoning mask. If man will strike, strike through the mask. How can the prisoner reach outside except by thrusting through the wall? To me, the white whale is that wall, shoved near me. Sometimes I think there's naught beyond, but 'tis enough. He tasks me, he heaps me. I see in him outrageous strength, with an inscrutable malice sinewing in it. That inscrutable thing is chiefly what I hate. And be the white whale agent, or be the white whale principal, I will wreak that hate upon him. Talk not to me of blasphemy, man. I'd strike the sun if it insulted me.
Oh, it's thrilling, isn't it?
He's a piece of work, all right.
He is, but then so's that whale. So which embodies evil in your mind, Barry Lopez,
neither,
reading this?
Neither really? Embodies evil. Each embodies complexity. Any human being is capable of extraordinary cruelty and great compassion, sometimes within the same minute.
I love your eloquence, but I must say, in addition to everything else, it's a ripping great adventure story.
It is that, and that's why at the age of 12 or 13 when I picked it up, as they say, I couldn't put it down, and why at the age of 56 I could pick it up and not put it down.
I wonder how it makes you feel as a writer, Mr. Lopez, to realize that Melville began this book when he was just 30 years old.
Well, I'll tell you how it makes me feel, Susan. I know that there are stories that I sit down to write that I began when I was 15. You know, when you're young, you see something subtle and you can't pronounce it. You don't know what it is when a man approaches a woman, for example. And many years later, you understand a gesture that you couldn't even have perceived when you were 15. So I think a lot of books for writers get written, say, within a couple of years, you get the idea and you finish with it. And other books are the preoccupation of your whole life.
Barry Lopez, his 1986 book, Arctic Dreams, makes explorations of the far north a metaphor for larger moral issues. Lopez's favorite book is Moby Dick or the Whale, written in 1851 by Herman Melville. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.